It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
A vote for Biden is a vote for the biggest tax hike in the history of our country. He wants to knock out your Medicare, your Social Security, and he wants to abolish a thing called American energy.
That's President Trump speaking somewhere yesterday. He's so many different places, it's hard to keep up. And yet, I wanted you to hear that because he's really right. Pennsylvania, of course, has been the site of many of his rallies. One thing that caught my eye that I thought was really fun. And that is this report that the Amish voters showed up in force to support President Trump at one of his rallies. It shows a picture. This reminds me, I'm going to even actually say his name. A number of years ago, I did a retreat for parents and their disabled children in Pennsylvania. They ended up going into Amish country, visiting some Amish friends I had made at that retreat. And the Stolfitzes, John Stolfitz, and this looks like John in this picture. I don't know if it is or not. He's holding up Trump, Pence, Make America Great Again. So they were all over the rally. The president addressed them. He said, we have the Pennsylvania Dutch. They're great people. They're not known for going out and voting. Don't tell anybody, but the Pennsylvania Dutch are voting en masse. And then he said, there's a little relationship here. They're hard workers, incredible craftsmen. You've done work for me over the years, I'll tell you. They can throw up a barn in about 2 days. So the liberal press responded by saying that the Amish that were in the picture behind President Trump were fake. They were fake Amish, but I don't think they're fake Amish. Just as I'm looking, there's too many of them, and it's just kind of a little fun story. They don't usually, you know, this is not something they generally do. I think that they are seeing what the rest of us are seeing, sort of a threat to our freedoms and a threat to their way of life and their faith in God. And so they're out there. And in, speaking of the polls, I wanted to give you some just some hopeful information. I was going to report this to you yesterday, but I just ran out of time. But in a poll, Rasmussen poll yesterday, it for the first time, according to Rasmussen, President Trump has taken the lead nationally by 1 point. So that's amazing. I mean, who knows? No one really knows. You do know that. No one really knows. But since we keep having all these polls that show Vice President Biden ahead by, 10 points, 17 points, whatever they like to say, it was just good and interesting to have a poll that said something very different. I also heard a poll that 54%, I believe it's of likely voters or people that have voted, I'm not sure which, say they have heard about this Joe Biden, Hunter Biden scandal, and they actually believe what Bob Alinsky is saying. And that's 54%. And I don't even know how they're hearing this because we're going to get into in a second, the attempts, further attempts by the media to cover up that story. So President Trump, according to other polls, looks to have taken the lead in Florida. Also in, I don't want to misspeak here, Florida and in Pennsylvania, according to the polls I'm looking at here. So, like I said, no one really knows. I'm not claiming that I know. I'm just telling you what I'm reading. I think Rasmussen is a more reliable poll than some of the others that we've seen. 1 point is not enough to guarantee a win for anyone in this close year. Plus, with all the ballot shenanigans, it definitely is not enough to assure anyone of feeling any particular way. And by the way, Joe Biden has been out on the campaign trail, and he's finally asking questions. And I thought you might be interested to know the kinds of questions he's been asked by the media. You've kept a relatively light public schedule in the past few days. Can you give us a sense of how much you'll be traveling in the next few days? Oh, another hard one he got was, are you confident enough with your standing in states like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan? Are you expanding the map by traveling to Iowa? And then the real hard, crucial question that Joe Biden got asked was, you said as part of your commission, you would look into how long justices serve on the court. Does that mean you're open to term limits? Okay, you can't make this stuff up. Those are actual questions that have been asked of Joe Biden out of the campaign trail. A little contrast to the kinds of questions they're asking President Donald Trump. I think I shared this with you, but I want to make sure that I do. They've been keeping tally, of course, of the voters that are coming to these rallies. And all over the place, I would just say in general, this is what's happening. There are tons of percentages of people. I say anywhere, there was 14% at a recent rally in Pennsylvania, but I read 20.4% in New Hampshire who are not, they're not Republicans. And huge amounts of people that did not vote in 2016. So, and there are a lot of Democrats, significant numbers of Democrats. I can't break it all down. It would take me too long, but I just think that's very interesting, and I think you should know that. I think I do think things are shifting, and we'll see what happens with that. Now, this is the biggest news of the day, I think, really, and that is that the three major heads of social media and Google is not social media, but it controls everything that you see. So those three heads, Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg, and is it, I've forgotten the guy that heads Google for the moment, but they were all three grilled by the Senate committee yesterday. Ted Cruz, who understands social media probably as well as any senator there, kind of led the charge on some of this questioning. And I wanted you to hear him question Jack Dorsey on Twitter. Remember that Twitter is the outlet. They're not the only ones, but they took the lead in preventing anyone from reading the New York Post article, which broke the story about the facts regarding Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and the business, the family business, where they're making millions doing business with our enemies overseas and making those arrangements while Joe Biden was the sitting vice president. So the New York Post first printed that, and Twitter immediately took it down. In fact, by the way, New York Post is still off of Twitter. And so with that backdrop, Senator Cruz asked some questions of the CEO of Twitter, Jack Dorsey. Here it is, clip one.
But today, I want to focus my questioning on Mr. Dorsey and on Twitter. Because of the three players before us, I think Twitter's conduct has by far been the most egregious. Mr. Dorsey, does Twitter have the ability to influence elections?
No.
You don't believe Twitter has any ability to influence elections?
No, we are one part of a spectrum of communication channels that people have.
So you're testifying to this committee right now that Twitter, when it silences people, when it censors people, when it blocks political speech, that has no impact on elections?
People have choice of other communication channels with which...
Not if they don't hear information. If you don't think you have the power to influence elections, why do you block anything?
Well, we have policies that are focused on making sure that more voices on the platform are possible. We see a lot of abuse and harassment, which ends up silencing people and having them leave from the platform.
All right, so that's just part of it. And then, of course, Senator Cruz went on to ask Jack Dorsey specifically about the removing of the New York Post article and removing New York Post, the third or fourth largest newspaper in the country, the oldest one certainly. What gives you the right to decide that they can't be on Twitter? And then he goes through this. He says, oh, they're still able to. And so it's a back and forth that if we have time later, we'll play. But let me just say that Ted Cruz on Twitter said, Jack told the Senate, what he told the Senate under oath is false. I just tried to tweet the New York Post story alleging Biden's Chinese Communist Party corruption. It's still blocked. And then he gives the statute. He said that makes it a felony to lie under oath to the Senate. So it's getting very interesting. And but I want to talk more about the Biden scandal because honestly, this is huge, as President Trump would say. This is a huge scandal, and it's true that over half of Americans have already voted, but they need to know what's happening. They need to understand what's just happened. By the way, all of the materials, Tony Bobulinski, we played several clips from him with Tucker from night before last. Tony is a former military man who was in business with Hunter Biden and with Jim Biden, Joe Biden's brother, and with Joe Biden, who he met with several times. And he came forward with evidence, 3 cell phones, all kinds of email. He was one of the people copied on those email that were found at Hunter Biden's laptop when it was abandoned at that store in Delaware. So he got furious when Adam Schiff came out and said that that's just Russian disinformation. It's just a plot, a ploy. It's just slander against the Bidens. There's no truth to it. It's just Russian disinformation. And Tony was furious because he said, I've been in the military for years. My family has served for decades, and he will not slander us like that. I will not let that stand. And so he tried to get the family to stop, tell the truth, just come out and tell the truth. He said, because if you don't, I'm going to go public with this. And so I want you to hear the back and forth that he did with Tucker last night. And you will hear on that the attorney for the Biden family, and Tony's handed over his phone so that the message is there. You'll hear that interaction. Tony kind of setting, Bob Alinsky kind of setting this up. Let's listen to clip 6.
The Biden family knew that you're going public with this. And you spoke to Rob Walker about it. Again, the self-described Biden family representative. And Biden family, meaning Joe Biden as well. What was his response when you let him know that you were going public with this?
Trying to coach me. Trying to sort of say, hey, we don't want to do that. We don't want, you know, press trucks out in front of our house. I'm going to have to move. I could lose my job. All that, I'm not trying to cause any harm to anyone in this situation,
right,
let alone Rob Walker and his family, James Gillier and his family. But basically, Rob's position was, if you go on record with all these facts, you'll bury all of us.
If he doesn't come out on record, I am providing the facts.
Tony, you're just going to just bury all of us, man.
What was your response to that?
I was focused on pushing these guys to do the right thing, to demonstrate an ounce of integrity in front of the American people. They all know the facts. I live the facts. And luckily for the American people, all the facts are extremely well documented. I'm irrelevant in this discussion, so I can write off, but the American people can read these texts, listen to the recording that you just played, read the legal documents that were executed in Delaware, and they can form their own conclusion. They don't need me to form the conclusion for them.
Yeah, except something, all right, so quickly, if I could. Jim Biden is part of this. That's Joe Biden's brother. He represents Joe Biden. He's completely and has been for decades involved in the Biden family business with Hunter. And Tony talks about this. And so a reporter went out to Jim Biden's family, to his home yesterday, and asked him, what can you tell us? Do you want to talk to us? And remember that Tony said that when he talked to Jim Biden, how are you doing this? Aren't you concerned that this is going to implicate your brother? Aren't you concerned that How are you going to manage all of the legal or illegal? He didn't say illegal, but it is illegal. What they did was they took money, billions. They took millions, I should say. Millions of dollars from the Chinese communists, from the Ukrainian government, from Uzbekistan, and they took it for their family. So Jim Biden is asked about this out in front of his house, and we'll play that when we come back because I want to complete my thought on that before we open the phone lines today. I recognize that we haven't been able to talk for a couple of weeks, and I do want to open the phone lines so that we can just have a conversation. So be prepared to do that, and we'll do it on the other side of the break after I finish all these incredible new details about the Joe Biden scandal, the Joe Biden family scandal. It really, really is just amazing, and half of the Americans have already voted. Did you know that trending on Google is the question, how can I change my vote? How can I change my vote? I believe that's true, what Bob Alinsky is saying. How can I change my vote? I don't think they can change their vote, but stay tuned. We'll be back. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
It all came down to the ultrasound, and I saw this little lima bean looking thing with a halo, which I thought was incredible.
A baby wasn't really in the plan for this young mom. After seeing a halo on her baby on ultrasound at a preborn center, she was still leaning towards abortion.
And I got to hear the heartbeat, and I got chills. But in that moment, I just felt God's arms come around me and hug me and tell me that it was going to be okay.
Preborn centers are the largest providers of free ultrasounds in the country, as they equip centers to save more babies and souls. To find out more, go to preborn.com or dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby.
My choice to become a mom and hear those little footsteps running down the hallway every morning is all because I had an ultrasound. It saved my life and hers.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring, but one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
When it comes to choosing a college, campus visits are important. But 2020 has made it tough to tour your top picks. At Liberty University, we understand, so we offer a variety of visiting opportunities. Tour campus from home with a virtual tour, or visit campus for a few hours for a daily campus tour. Dig a little deeper with Experience LU, a single-day event where you'll tour campus, meet with faculty and staff, and sample on-campus dining locations. Pick your perfect visit by texting VISIT to 49596. Again, that's VISIT to 49596.
A 13-year-old boy who says he's a girl has announced he believes gender is over. It's unnecessary. That's what the child said in a video shared by Pink News. I've decided not to identify the youngster, even though he has become something of a celebrity among grown adults in the LGBT movement. At 11 years old, he served as the Grand Marshal for the LGBTQ Pride Parade. He says his gender identity is male, but his gender expression is female. The little boy said in his video he enjoys hair, makeup, shopping, styling outfits. Just a few weeks ago, former Vice President Joe Biden told a crowd that even eight-year-olds should be allowed to decide their gender. What's happening to this child is nothing short of abuse and exploitation. God decides gender, not man. Be sure to download my free podcast. Listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern, streaming online at toddstarnes.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
So I just want you to assess once more, is there anything about Hunter Biden's personal experience, personal qualifications that would justify him doing a deal in Kazakhstan?
Absolutely nothing. The only thing that he had was the Biden family name and the fact that his father at one point obviously was a sitting vice president and potentially would run as a future president.
That's the voice of Tony Bobulinski, who has been appearing with Tucker Carlson. Tucker did two nights back-to-back. The first night, I think they got 7 million listeners. So, let me just say, this scandal is not just about the former vice president having a son who is trouble, who's a cocaine addict, who's into prostitutes, and it looks like pornography from his laptop, who's just thoroughly messed up, had to leave the service because of his cocaine addiction, has been in rehab, I don't know, at least a dozen times. He's a mess. That's not the story, though, because everybody can have a child who's troubled, right? The story is that the former vice president, while he was the sitting vice president under Barack Obama asked him to be over our relationship with Ukraine, the United States' relationship with China, red communist China, our greatest enemy on the globe, And in response to that, Joe Biden, according to Tony Bobulinski, who was a partner to them, he has proof of this. In fact, by the way, the Senate has verified the veracity of all the information that he's turned over. At least, I shouldn't say all of it, because I don't know if they've gotten to all of it. But what's been turned over has been verified. So he is saying, no, Joe Biden was in the center of this. I met with Joe many, many times. The story is that the real story here is that the vice president of the United States, who wants to be your president, and the election's coming up on Tuesday, is really nothing more than a crook and someone who's taken millions of dollars from Chinese communist countries. I could read you, just to remind you, how soft Joe Biden has been on China. Maybe I should do that for a second and you'd understand. He told us just this week, Russia's our number one enemy. China, they're not a threat. He said that so many times. Do you realize what a lie that is? China has stolen our technology, is developing their military in ways that are a tremendous threat to this country. So this is who wants to be president. Do you think he's going to stop? Now it's a family business. His brother, I think both of his brothers, are involved in this as well. But let's talk about Jim Biden, because Tony Bobulinski said that Jim Biden, when he asked, Tony asked him, how are you going to get away with this? He said, he just laughed and he said, plausible deniability. We'll just say it didn't happen and say it didn't happen. So the Bidens have said nothing. Oh, they don't know anything. Joe Biden has told us he's never discussed his business dealings with his son, ever, ever. I never have. I've never done that. And then he also said he's never taken a penny of foreign money, not a penny. Really? Really? This is the man who wants to be your president. So Jim Biden, in his home, a reporter went out to their home on the Eastern Shore. Must be... not sure which Eastern Shore, maybe Delaware, and tried to do an interview with him, and I thought you might find that interaction interesting. This is clip 10.
Mr. Biden, hi. Do you care to answer some questions?
No.
Just wondering, why did you involve Joe Biden in your China deal? Why did you and Hunter Biden want Joe Biden to meet with Tony B? Are you Mr. Jim Biden? I wanted to ask you about the China deal.
Would you please stop bothering me?
You don't want to comment, sir?
I don't want to comment about anything to you.
Plausible deniability. I'd say that's plausible deniability. We have his name on texts. We have his name on email. We probably have, I don't know if they have his voice. They certainly have the attorney's voice. Remember saying, we just heard it in the last segment, Rob Walker, you're going to, Tony, you're going to bury all of us. You're going to bury all of us. Do you think that sounds like a man who feels that there's nothing wrong going on here? Do you think that sounds like an innocent man saying that? Tony, stop, you're going to bury all of us. Well, all right, so here's the rest of this story, which is just shocking. Tucker, on his show last night, shared this, and you have to hear it. This is clip 7.
So on Monday of this week, we received from a source, a collection of confidential documents related to the Biden family. We believe those documents are authentic, they're real, and they're damning. At the time we received them, my executive producer, Justin Wells, and I were in Los Angeles preparing to interview Tony Bobulinski about the Bidens' business dealings in China, Ukraine, and other countries. So we texted a producer in New York and we asked him to send those documents to us in LA, and he did that. So Monday afternoon of this week, he shipped those documents overnight to California with a large national carrier, a brand name company that we've used, you've used countless times with never a single problem. But the Biden documents never arrived in Los Angeles. Tuesday morning, we received word from the shipping company that our package had been opened and the contents were missing. The documents had disappeared. Now, to its credit, the company took this very seriously and immediately began a search. They traced the envelope from the moment our producers dropped it off in Manhattan on Monday all the way to 3:44 a.m. yesterday morning. That's when an employee at a sorting facility in another state noticed that our package was open and empty. Apparently, it had been opened. So the company's security team interviewed every one of its employees who touched the envelope we sent. They searched the plane and the trucks that carried it. They went through the office in New York where our producer dropped that package off. They combed the entire cavernous sorting facility. They used pictures of what we had sent so that searchers would know what to look for. They went far and beyond, but they found nothing. Those documents have vanished. As of tonight, the company has no idea and no working theory even about what happened to this trove of materials, documents that are directly relevant to the presidential campaign just 6 days from now. We spoke to executives at that company a few hours ago. They seemed baffled and deeply bothered by this. And so are we.
Yeah, and so are we. So let me just tell you that Jonathan Chalt, or Chait, of the New York Magazine was chortling. Jonathan Chait was chortling. He was gloating and saying that Tucker Carlson is now using the dog ate my homework excuse for not being able to deliver the proof of what has been shared on his broadcast with Tony Bobulinski the last few nights. So the dog ate my homework because now Tucker doesn't have it. He's making this up. The trouble is Fox made copies of everything before they sent it. That's the trouble, Jonathan. That's the trouble. So listen, this is very serious stuff. And look, when you get to this point where things are being stolen, where the social media and other networks who are not reporting this are desperate to cover it up, you know that there's danger there. There's danger for the people involved. And so we need to be praying for Tucker and his staff and any other people, Tony, trying to tell the truth about this. I would suspect they're in danger. And we need to pray for our country because the election is Tuesday and lots of people have already voted. And we have a Houston, shall we say, we have a problem. All right, I do want to go to the phone lines. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, and talk to you a little bit more about anything you want to talk about, really, that's relevant to what's going on in the world right now. This is from Janet, and she reminds me, as I want to remind you, she said, I installed the New York Post app on my cell so I could read the emails for myself. And really, if you want to hear from these outlets, you cannot depend on Google. Google has buried Breitbart. They've put them so far down in the search engine, and even if you enter Breitbart and the exact wording of their headlines, you can't find them. And I'm finding that with my research, too. I'm having a terrible time. Facebook is doing the same thing. I could talk about our page has been terribly affected and shut down. And that's been happening for a while, but we just realized this week how bad it is. And so two things I want to say about that before I go to the phones. If you want to hear a news outlet, with Daily Caller, download their app, Breitbart, whatever outlet you trust. And then, of course, AFR Talk, that's our app, where you can't be filtered and you go directly to us and you can get your information. And I want to say, again, understand that talk radio is probably going to be the last bastion of truth. At least for a while, until if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris prevail, trust me, they're coming after us with a vengeance. You can just take it to the bank. They're not going to allow conservative radio to exist and speak freely. Do you really think that's going to happen? It's not. I can tell you it's not. So for right now, while social media is probably going to pull out all the stops between now and Tuesday, even when it comes to election results, you may not. Who are you going to trust? And so I'm just telling you, I hope that you will listen to us, AFR Talk is the app, so that you do not get shut out and you don't have something between you and AFR Talk. And also, as Janet suggested, download the New York Post app and other apps that of outlets that you trust. This is from our friend in Northern Ireland, Phil. It's nice to hear from you, Phil. I'm so happy that you're still listening. He said, I hope you and your families are keeping well. I want to write to give you my thanks. I'm sure, like many listeners, saying thanks isn't big enough to convey the gratitude for the work that AFR does in people's lives, the good work. I listen in on the podcast and can't get enough, so much that my wife calls me an American now. Each of the AFR presenters and team behind the scenes have become like household friends around the place. He talks about Abe. Oh, he said, like Abe, there's five that run about in my house too, all young, and it is without question a blessing from God that the message and learning from AFR will be heard by them to help them on their way. There are so many topics and teachings for life that are hard to beat. And so he wants to thank Tim for thanks to your father and mother who started this ministry, and God bless you all. God bless the listeners. And thanks to God for revealing the work of AFR to me and my family. So, Phil, thank you so much. And I know I just I don't think we're going to get to it today, but let me just say that Europe right now is closing down again over COVID with a vengeance. And there's trouble there. There's a lot to say. I could do a whole show on that. And I'm sure that Phil is feeling the pinch of that. I played yesterday for you. This is not Europe. It's New Zealand, where they're building these in like camps where people who test positive will have to go. And it's the whole world's going crazy. And so, Phil, I'm happy that maybe in some way we can bring some sanity to you and your family, too, over there in Europe in the midst of all that you've been going through. All right, so let's go to the phones. Our phone number, again, is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Randy in Texas. Good morning, Randy.
Yes, hi, Sandy.
Hi.
Good to talk to you this morning.
Thank you.
Yes. I'd just like to make the point that, you know, when Phyllis Schlafly in 2016 said that she felt like that Donald Trump was the only one that could defeat the kingmakers, I wasn't on board with it. I didn't understand that. But she saw things and probably even led by the Holy Spirit approaching death at that time, you know, just being sensitive to the Lord, really spending time with God. I think that she saw things that we could never see, because I don't think that maybe one, you could argue, Republican candidate in 2016 would have done this. But I don't think we'd even know any of what was going on if Donald Trump hadn't been elected.
You know, Randy, that's a very, very good point. I don't think I would have ever thought of that, but you were absolutely right. Phyllis jumped in behind Donald Trump before almost any conservative did, and she was a good friend of mine, and you're absolutely right. She had tremendous insight. She also understood the levels of levers of power in D.C. and how corrupt it was, and she knew it was going to take someone who was strong enough to fight that. So I think she was prescient and perhaps Holy Spirit-led, too. That's a very, very good point, Randy. Thanks for reminding us about that. Let's go to Debbie in West Virginia. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Sandy. How are you?
I'm good. How was everything in West Virginia?
Oh, we're hanging in here. We're doing pretty good. I know that Trump's up by, like, 45 points in West Virginia if you talk about the real polls.
45 points ahead, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, you have to realize that last election, he carried 72% of the vote.
Okay, well, I didn't know that. And you know what? I suppose with Joe Biden's declaration in that last debate that he was going to do away with, fossil fuels, that he was going to phase it out and go to wind and solar, that probably was enough of a catalyst to, I don't know how West Virginians could go for that. But you have another comment, right?
Yeah, I do. With all everything that's going on and everything is coming, coming up with the elections and everything, God forbid that Biden get elected. Do you think that with this late-breaking, news about Biden, that he will be pressured to resign and we could have a Kamala Harris as president?
Yes. I don't have to hesitate. I guarantee you. Anything that can take Joe out of the way for the left will happen. Whether it's his mental frailty or whether it's this scandal, you better believe it. In fact, you remember Nancy Pelosi floated that 25th Amendment issue about having some president step aside if he was incompetent. She started talking about that, and people thought she was talking about Trump, but she wasn't really. She was probably talking about Joe Biden. They're trying to figure out ways to get Joe to step aside. Absolutely, Debbie. As soon as the election takes place, if he wins, he will not win, and it will be Kamala Harris. I don't know how they're going to make that transition, but you can take it to the bank. That's exactly what they have in mind. They ran Joe because he had this, he's such a good guy, with this great smile, and, I'm just a hard scrabble guy from Pennsylvania, which is just absolutely not true, but that's what people believe. They knew he could get elected in this country that's not as far left as Kamala Harris, who is the most liberal senator in the Senate, the person that did the most poor when she was actually running for president herself. She couldn't get elected, but boy, she can get in now. And thanks to the help of lots of Democrats, she might do it. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
In order for you to realize your dream and get to where you believe God wants you to go, you can't be doing everything.
Yeah, it took me a while to learn that no is a complete sentence.
Yes, it is. It is indeed.
Tune in for an encore presentation of Sheila Walsh's interview with Dr. David Jeremiah on his new book and series, Forward, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, my name is Todd Friel. I am the host of Wretched Radio, heard right here on American Family Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight Central Standard Time. Not to brag, but Wretched Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight is the single best Christian radio program on American Family Radio at that time period. That's right. We hope that you'll join us Saturday night. See for yourself from 10 p.m. till midnight for Wretched Radio on American Family Radio.
The borrower is the slave of the lender. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Prior to the passage of the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, over 80% of American families were debt-free. Today, however, over 80% of the American people are saddled with debt. I was asked recently what advice I could offer in the midst of the national tension we currently face. One of the things I said in response was to work toward getting completely out of debt. So much fruitfulness and faithfulness to God has been robbed from us due to the impact of crushing debt. One of the best things you can do for your family right now is to become debt-free.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. In Philadelphia, a man armed with a knife refused repeated commands to drop his weapon and was shot to death by two cops. A righteous shoot, if there ever was one. But the socialist Black Lives Matter crowd reacted with vengeful and hateful rage and began assaulting cops, reporters, and stores. 91 cops were sent to the hospital. This is a preview of what will happen whether Trump wins or loses. If he wins, the blind rage we saw in Philadelphia will be repeated in every major city in America. And if Trump loses, Antifa and BLM will loot and pillage in celebration. Either way, there will be blood. What's at stake in this election is whether America will have any respect for the rule of law or whether chaos and vigilantism will be allowed to reign. Vote carefully, but whatever else you do, vote.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. While there are myriad uncertainties about the outcome of next week's presidential election, one thing is certain. The winner will have as job one contending with the threat posed by the Chinese Communist Party to our national security, the U.S. economy, and in all likelihood, our public health. It's equally clear that Xi Jinping's dictatorship recognizes how high the stakes are in our elections for China. The extent of its intervention in our national decision is the subject of a frightening new film available for free on YouTube by Chinese expatriate Simone Gao and called The American Republic versus the CCP. It documents, for example, how Beijing has even weaponized big data collecting apps like TikTok to influence voters in this country. We have never faced a bigger threat than communist China. Our next commander-in-chief must understand that. So must American voters. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right,
that's just the sound of what it sounded like in Philadelphia last night as Antifa marched down the streets, and you could see the police just absolutely overwhelmed. You know that a young black man was shot by two policemen. He was wielding a knife and refused to stand down. They shot him, and so now there is rioting and looting. They're stealing from all the stores as though somehow that's the proper response, if it indeed it was an act of racism, which I don't think anyone watching the video would see it that way. More than 30 police officers have been injured in those protests, and one of them was run down by a truck. A woman, a female police officer, was actually targeted by a truck, and her leg is broken, and I'm not sure what her condition is today, but it looks horrific. And by the way, a Blaze reporter was beaten up by the rioters last night in Philadelphia. But nothing to see there. Nothing to see there, really. Really, nothing to worry about. So says the governor of Pennsylvania, Wolf. Let's hear how he describes this, because this is what he says. Clip 11.
I mean, I'm, as everyone is really sad by the death of the victim. And I think I share in mourning with the family. Any time that happens is a tragedy, for whatever reason. And I think we need to make sure that we follow up, find out what happened. I'm and my staff have been in constant communication since last night with the folks in Philadelphia. And the hope is that doesn't escalate into anything more than the peaceful protests that I think this kind of situation brings out.
Yeah, so it's just peaceful protests. And if you're a policeman serving in Philadelphia, wouldn't you feel encouraged and comforted to know that as you go back out on the streets tonight and you're overwhelmed by Antifa? By the way, they said that one of the reasons that the policeman who shot the knife-wielding young black man, the reason they shot him, they did not have tasers because the budget has been cut. So this is the state of things. And let me just also say to you that the Black Lives Matter is so closely tied to the Biden campaign and also to Kamala Harris. I remember that she talked about what a great organization it is. Black Lives Matter is a communist organization. They're not exactly a great organization. They want to destroy the natural family. And they also want revolution in this country. So just keep in mind, keep a sober outlook on what it is we're facing here. All right, I want to go back to the phones, and let's go to Pete in Georgia. Good morning, Pete.
Hey, good morning, Sandy. Going on with your how dangerous it is theme, we have a growing group of patriots here in Savannah, including a lot of black friends are in our group. One guy from Zimbabwe. And we went to Savannah State University this past Monday, yesterday, in the afternoon, because Jill Biden was going to be there. And there was a growing group. Savannah State is a historically black college. And there was a growing group of black young people. And that group became very large and unruly. Our group was small. We had like 20, 25 people there. We're just, you know, waving our Trump flags, American flags, and we're very well behaved. I just got to tell you, nobody did any threats, no cussing, certainly no racial slurs. One of the guys in our group, there was the guy from Zimbabwe. And I talked to the police and I said, you know, what's going on? And he's like, we don't have enough police to keep you safe. And I said, well, then call for backup. And when, you know, he had no answer, so I called 911. And one car showed up about half an hour later, and that was it. That crowd grew to be well over 1,000. And when our group peacefully just turned and left, that group poured over the street, went right by the police, surrounded us. They were taunting us, giving us the, you know what, bird, all the F-bombs, all this stuff. It was a very dangerous situation. And we had one young child in our group, 9 years old. It really just came out of, you know, it just happened. And so anyway, Savannah State University is at fault. They did not have adequate protection, neither did the Biden campaign. But this is where we're at right now on the college universities.
Yeah, you know what, Pete, thanks for telling us that story. And God bless you for going out there and trying to, you know, make a difference and just speak. You exercise your free speech to say what you believe is true. And thank God you guys were not hurt. But this is what we're seeing everywhere. I think you may have heard me talk about that young black gentleman in San Francisco who organized a pro-Trump rally. And there were probably a dozen of them. They were playing, you know, proud to be an American. They were waving flags. And Antifa descended by the hundreds, like what you're describing. Huge. Just descended on them, beat the leader, broke his two front teeth out. In San Francisco, and no protection whatsoever. It's not just college campuses. It's going to be cities, because the cities have been primed. The police departments in these democratically run cities have been primed and beaten down, and no one has their back. If they try to protect themselves, they find themselves fired or disgraced or doxxed the situation. I just heard that the police academy in Chicago I can't give you the number. Let me just say the new police academy is pathetic in size, because no one wants to go in. And this, when we're getting ready to have all hell break out on Tuesday, they've already declared that if President Trump wins on Tuesday, all hell is going to break out in our streets. They're planning on doing it not just in the major cities. They're planning on doing it in I don't know if it's going to be on Tuesday, but let me just say that Black Lives Matter and Antifa have access to personal information of Trump voters. I'm not saying everywhere in the whole wide world. I'm just telling you that they have a database and they're working on that. They're saying they want to disrupt normal life. And so we have to be ready. We cannot be cowards. We cannot be cowards. We're going to have to fight. And I'm not sure exactly what that means, but we're going to have to fight and fight with courage, or we're going to lose. The alternative is to give in to them and let them take over this country. And so if that's okay with you, so that you can buy a little more time to, you know, have what you think is peace. But they're coming after you eventually. If you don't fight, in the coming days, it's only going to get worse. They'll be more entrenched. So I'm just saying. So Pete, God bless you guys. Did you feel like you accomplished anything by doing that?
Oh yeah, no, definitely. Our presence has been, we do flag waving in groups of 25 or 30 people twice a week at very busy intersections. And we do a Trump parade. We've been doing this like at least once a week. We go all the way downtown to the historic district, the tourist district. And I'm telling you, about 85% of the people are roundly supporting us, cheering us on, thumbs up. But just one quick other thing, by the way, in our in our text message feed last night, someone got a screenshot. Someone from Savannah State took a picture of the back of my car with a Trump flag going through the sunroof. I have a little tiny Fit, and their license plate. And in their statement and in their picture there was, so if we see this license plate with my license plate, you know, they spelled it out, we're going to go after them. That kind of thing.
Yes. So that proves the point, doesn't it, Pete? So here's the deal. So we either back off and say, oh, I'm afraid we can't, or we choose to join forces and be together in mass, willing to do whatever. And they cannot, listen, there aren't that many of them proportionately. There just aren't. It's just that they're mean, and they want to be more violent than they are, I think. They're kind of held back a little bit right now. They're mean and they're violent. And so, and they're your kids, by the way. They're your children. You probably have some. Some of you have kids in your basement who are participating in this. I know there are. It's time to get a handle on this, because if President Trump should win and prevail, we're going to have to clean house. We're going to have to clean house. We've got to make some deep changes. And I'm talking about humanly, but I'm also talking about spiritually. It can never be business as usual. If God should grant us a reprieve from this, it cannot be business as usual. We need to get serious about our faith, serious about our lives, serious about our country, less lazy, more diligent, good stewards. We have a lot of things to fix. And so I'm just throwing that out there. Pete, it's great to talk to you, and God bless you for your courage. Thank you. Let's go to Jim in Ohio. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. It's an honor to speak with you.
Thank you.
I wanted to let you know that I have taken both my son and I. You were just talking about our children. Both my son and I have signed up to be poll workers, and there are lots of them in Ohio. I'm in Central Ohio. As a result, I could not vote at my precinct, which I always do. So I had to do early voting, and the early voting in Central Ohio was something I've never seen. It is at a retail strip center in Central Ohio, and we walked up to the front door and said, okay, let's go find the bottom, the back of the line. So we walk across probably five or six store fronts to find the back of the line. Then we turn the corner and walk the entire depth of the shopping center, and then we go into the back where all the trash dumpsters and the employees park, and the line is down across the entire back of the building and then turned halfway back again. The turnout in Ohio is amazing. It was a tremendous amount of Trump people. All the people that I talked to around me were very supportive. They were very positive. Even though it took more than an hour to stand outside, But it was solid, and when I talked to the people that organized the polls, they said it's like that nonstop all day from 8 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night. It's
well,
just amazing.
I have read that they are expecting like exponential turnout, whether that's good or bad for President Trump, I can't say. I can't say, but Americans are awake. I'm glad for that. What else, Jim?
They are. Everybody's motivated. Everybody's motivated. And in our neighborhood, we see some Biden signs, but we see a lot of American flags. And that's my wife's idea that basically people won't put Trump flags in front of their house because of fear of intimidation. It happens a lot. There's no question about it. But people will display their flags.
Yep.
And that is where we see them everywhere.
Yeah.
And so I just want to thank you for being the reason that we're going to just keep this human race alive, because if we don't, this human race is going to go away. So thank you for the tremendous effort that you've done throughout your entire career. It's wonderful.
Thank you, Jim. You're very kind. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hey, let me just do a couple of things. I'm going to go to a few calls, and I want you to be quick, okay, because I'd like to get you in. I want to mention, someone asked me about early voting. If you can early vote in person, verifying your identity, then do that. But it's the mail-in votes that I think are most in danger. And so, then know that if you go vote on Tuesday, you may be in for hours. So just do it, okay? Just consider it, you know, service to your country. But those are the two ways I recommend voting, certainly at this point. Let's go very quickly now. If you could just make your point, that'd be great. Rita in Missouri.
Rita, are you on? Hello?
Rita, are you? Yes.
Yes. Okay. Hi. I'm just calling to tell you that there are many millions of people that have voted early, but many people have voter's remorse. Looked it up. There are only 7 states where you can change your vote, and I would encourage these 7 states to go to their election board and change their votes. Can I give them to you real quick?
Yes.
Connecticut, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, New York, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Please go to your Wisconsin board, or your election board, and change your vote if you can. Thanks.
Okay.
That's
interesting, Rita. That's very, I did not know that. So that's great information. I can't repeat them back, but we'll write that down. Adam, capture that, please, and we'll put that on our Facebook page. All right. I'm sorry I couldn't get to all of you. I'm sorry. I'm always sorry. We need more time to talk. And listen, I can just sense the energy in you. We're going to save a country, right? With God's help. With God's help, we're going to save this country, aren't we? All right, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.